All right, welcome in, guys. Garden Report. Gerard Blakely at the Garden, along with Bobby Manning, Josue Pavone, Tim Shields, Amit Bhattacharjee. Only sad loser not at tonight's game is this guy right here.
Wait, timeout, John. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have any timeouts because Joe Mazzulla took them all. Oh, okay, never mind.
How about that? How about Joe?
Listen, this may be my favorite Joe Mazzulla coach game all season long because he made the adjustment. And we talk about him in the damn timeouts all the time. But this was – he absolutely nailed it. Time out after time out after timeout. This was the Joe Mazzulla that you're going to win a championship with if you're the Boston Celtics, the way he managed this game. Loved what he did tonight. Loved it.
How about that? We're leading with Joe Mazzulla coaching well.
Talking timeouts. We talking timeouts, John.
No, I mean, it was such a big story in the last game. And again, I've used the expression a ton. It is really low-hanging fruit because it's a thing that everyone can understand. And I'm not, you know, not to demean any of Celtics fans. I think it's actually, you know, one of the more educated fan bases out there just in terms of understanding basketball and what's going on. But the timeouts is such an easy thing that everybody can grab a hold of. It doesn't mean it's not real. It's just it just is something that everyone can kind of see. But it's the fact that everyone can see it that made it such a big story because it's like, that's what you do as a coach. Right. You call timeouts. It's like the in-game management. That's kind of what you do, right? But no, he did that. I tweeted semi-jokingly, but I mean, you know, I think love is the reason Jaylen Brown hit that free throw to send the game to overtime, right? It's Joe Mazzulla's love, you know? So love and trust, that's what it's all about, right? That's how this game went. And just such an interesting game because it's, again, you talk about like these bipolar, you know, weird mood swings that you have watching the Celtics these days. You know, you can kind of get yourself all revved up and like, well, Tatum and Brown are going to play like ass like this. Obviously, they're going to lose. And then all of a sudden, Tatum starts to find his rhythm a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Jaylen Brown out of nowhere finds his. And then he gets to overtime and he just explodes and, you know, takes the game over himself. And they're just completely rewriting the narratives of this game that was heading in a totally different direction. This game, for most of it, felt like the Lakers should have been up double digits, 15, 16, 17. They could never put the Celtics away. They hung in there. And then, you know, they caught fire late. You had Tatum really didn't show up until, you know, 5 minutes to go in the third. And he scores 15 points in that 5 minute stretch there. He did almost all of his damage in that little window. But that was essential to kind of getting them back into things there. You know, Lakers had gone up 9 or 11 and they cut that back and they took the lead going in. Just a weird game.
It was.
You didn't get your finger on the pulse of it. You know, it couldn't quite figure out. There was no real rhythm or flow to it.
No, you're right, though. I mean, because Tatum had that amazing third quarter stretch, and you're thinking, you know, he's just going to carry this into the fourth, and they're going to win. And it just didn't happen. And you know, Jaylen had, you know, he had 37. If it wasn't for foul trouble, Jaylen probably would have went for 50 tonight.
Holy crap, right?
I mean, it was like every single matchup that he had, he won. And there was, LeBron got some of that. Troy Brown got some of that. You know, good friend Dennis Schroeder, he got some of that. You go down the line of Lakers players, and Jaylen Brown dominated that matchup over and over and over again.
But again, the narratives of this game could have gone so many different directions.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, for all of his heroics in the fourth quarter and dominating those matchups, had a stretch of three straight plays back-to-back-to-back where he forced a really, really, really difficult, ill-advised shot in the fourth quarter, got caught napping as Patrick Beverley just kind of stormed in there, not blocking out. He turned his head, didn't pick anybody up. Beverly comes in for that massive jam. Then Jaylen on a really great play misses a wide open three. So that doesn't go in his direction at all there. And then he just, you know, when it did get to overtime, he just absolutely took over the game and put it away. It was, you know, the whole thing was, you know, just like I said, just the swings of this game were so interesting.
Yeah. And the thing that for me, just watching it from here, was a little bit frustrating was you could see Tatum going through a stretch where he just wasn't locked in. at both ends of the floor. Remember,
weird. He was disconnected.
Yeah, there was that stretch like in near the end of the second quarter where they're up by like a couple of points, and the guy that he should be guarding leaks out, and he sees him leaking out, and Jason doesn't get back enough, and you know he had a layup earlier in that second quarter where the reason he got the layup was because he didn't get back on defense. Those were the moments that just frustrated the hell out of me, because to me, you're cheating the game a little bit when you're trying to, you're taking shortcuts. And Tatum this season, for the most part, has not been about the shortcuts. And it was disappointing to see that. But listen, they win this game because Jaylen Brown showed up when it absolutely mattered most. And they got so many other guys that were chipping in. Malcolm Brogdon, Grant Williams, Derek White. You go to that, Al Horford hit a big three, which is one of the few shots he made. They needed the entire group to get this win. This was, without question, one of their better team wins. Because even though Jaylen Brown's number stood out for obvious reasons, so many other guys chipped in for this
win. I know, but it's an overtime game. And they scored 125 points, had 18 assists. This didn't feel like a great –
No.
It was this, not – they weren't moving the ball at all. This was a really weird, sticky game. You know, like I said, it's a lot of ISO from these guys. The difference was just they got hot at the right times. As I said, Tatum with one little stretch, and that's it. That's all. He was not good tonight. He was not good at all tonight, save for that 15 points in 5 minutes stretch in the third quarter where he got hot. And then, you know, Brown, you know, who just kind of, you know, exploded there, you know, late and especially in overtime. I think it's 11 in OT, you know, and just got it all done. But, I mean, not a high assist game. Again, you're going to talk about this offense. This offense was a mess most of the night. And like, you know, the person that, you know, like for the I hate Marcus Smart.
Say it, John.
I'm saying for the people out there, for the I don't like Marcus, these guys are taking some heavy L's these last few days, because this offense has really looked pretty gross without him in these last four games here. And again, they get the win here, but the offense looked bad most of the night, and some good individual performances, you know, heroic, you know, again, Jaylen, who was outstanding, you know, when they needed him to pull out the W.
Yeah, and there was a lot of detachment at both ends of the floor for Boston. And to me, again, it's a reminder that you can probably get through maybe a game or two here and there without Marcus Smart. But when you look at what happens when you've got an extended stretch and you don't have him out there, you're going to have dogfights and games that you should be absolutely running over teams. This game should never have been as close as it was when you look at the players that the Celtics have on their roster and who the Lakers have. There's no way this game should be going to overtime. But again, without Marcus Smart, you don't have that glue guy that makes sure everyone is where they need to be and guys are getting the ball in their sweet spots. And defensively, what bothered me about this game was some of those blockouts that did happen. You know, Russell Westbrook coming from the corner with a tip in, Patrick Beverley with that putback jam. That should not happen. And you cannot convince me otherwise that would have happened under Marcus Smart's watch. Those guys may get points, but I don't think they're getting those type of buckets.
Hey, Bobby Manning here. Wanted to take a second to tell you about betonline.ag, which remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs here in January to pro and college basketball rolling on, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to BetOnline.ag today, or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
I've never really understood in general, like, I don't know it's almost like Major League Baseball players and bunting. You know, you just stop taking it seriously, and it's like a really just simple fundamental thing, and nobody can do it, and they don't practice it, and they don't take it seriously in BP. Then you have to lay down a bunt, and absolutely nobody can do it. I don't know at what point in your basketball development blocking out ceases to be something that you give a shit about doing. It's remarkable to me how just nobody in the NBA boxes out. But I mean, at least find the, at least locate the guy. Celtics weren't even, I understand, instead of really getting down and blocking out, most people will just put a hand and feel for somebody. But Celtic, in many of these cases, these putbacks, they weren't even feeling for anybody. Everyone's just standing around looking up. I mean, what are you doing there? Like, don't you realize everybody wants that ball? You have to be at least cognizant of where people are around you.
Yeah, and I don't understand how you can be like that, knowing that you don't have your best perimeter defender in Marcus, and you don't have your best line of defense in Rob. You have to be more locked in on what your assignments are defensively, especially little things like blocking out. It may sound like, you know, basketball one-on-one, but when you see it not happen, you get yourself in situations where a couple of points here mean the difference between winning this game in regulation or having it go to overtime. And thankfully for the Celtics, getting Jaylen Brown, who, by the way, played a lot of this game in foul trouble, was still managing to make an impact. So it's a good win only because you found a way to survive on a night when you did not have your best game and you didn't have your best players for the most part available.
Yeah, you had Brown in foul trouble. Tatum, I don't think, sat out from the second quarter on once he came back in there. I think he played the whole half, whole second half, start to finish. And a lot of that had to do with Jaylen Brown picking up the fouls there early, the fourth foul and the fifth foul. Even though JB played a ton of that fourth quarter with five fouls, because you had to go with him. You're already down two guys. And, I mean, he basically played seven guys tonight. They cut the rotation way short. You gave Hauser and Pritchard a couple minutes in the first half, but they didn't see the court in the second half at all. Luke, you gave him a little bit of time. I know they were playing a little fun switch and go there at the end, offense, defense sort of situation with Luke, but he didn't get a lot of run either. Grant Williams fouls out. You know, this was a tough game to kind of, you know, stay in there and hang on, you know, with the personnel that they had. And I mean, outside of Brogdon, I mean, you're 5 minutes, 0 points Hauser, 16 minutes, 2 points Cornette, 6 minutes, 0 points Pritchard. That's it. But Brogdon had a terrific game offensively. And you know what? Brogdon saved their butts, I think, offensively too. When in addition to Brown, obviously, when Tatum was floundering, Brogdon definitely kind of took charge and just started going to the bucket and getting some easy buckets and easy looks there when the stuff wasn't going down for other people. So he was pretty huge tonight.
Oh, he was definitely huge. And not only was he huge in terms of scoring, but just his ability to put stress on that defense, which I thought loosened it up for some other guys. You know, when you think about the Lakers and you got a situation where you have an Anthony Davis tonight, for example, coming off the bench, you've got a Russell Westbrook who was brutal for most of this game. I don't recall seeing a guy.
I don't even
know
what he's doing half the time.
Listen, I don't know of any of too many guys who are probably going to be first ballot Hall of Famers who had just as dramatic a drop off as he did. And in this game, most of his points came with tip-ins. And as it turned out, just when the Lakers really could use a three ball, Russell thought, that's my time.
And he had a great look at it. What does it matter if you've got a great look at it when you can't hit them? I mean, it doesn't really matter. He's shooting friggin', I mean, it's just not him, man. I mean,
No, and the way the Celtics defended him, I mean, it was like the minute the ball swung to him, Grant would take a step back, Al would take a step back. They're just basically saying, shoot the damn ball, we dare you. And the one time he took that shot, no one had any confidence other than Russell that it was going to go in, and it didn't. So,
that's what you want out of him. That's what you want Russell to do. I mean, we've gone this far. I think we'd be negligent not to at least mention the foul. Call.
What foul? I have no idea.
First of all, I don't care about the foul as much, which it is amazing that LeBron James doesn't get a call. But I will say those two moments, his epic. I've got 4-year-old twins, Sherrod. I haven't seen it. I've never seen them throw a tantrum as theatrical and dramatic and extended as LeBron James just there. I mean, That was, I mean, if that were Grant Williams, he would have been ejected from the next 12 games. Like, it, you know, that was he should have gotten 11 technicals on that one rant. And on top of that, the friggin' camera move from Pat Beverly was unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. We'll bring in Joe Sway as well. What's up, buddy?
John, I was uncomfortable, man. Man, I've never seen a player just completely melt down like that.
It was literally just like your kid. When one of your children go, Sherrod will probably know, when one of your children just go boneless because they just have a complete meltdown.
Tantrum. I was waiting for him to do the spin around on the ground thing, you know, when they were like really upset. Like, I thought he was going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It always makes me laugh. It always makes me laugh. There's zero sympathy when I see you have that kind of meltdown, whether you are 4 or 40. I don't care. Get your ass up and try to make a play. Yeah.
Either way,
get your ass up and try to make a
ground,
play.
Crying. Yeah. Oh my God.
And I just got out of Darvin Ham's press conference, and he kept saying over and over again, "Look, didn't come down to that. That's not the reason why we lost." He's but right. It's frustrating. He went on and on. I'm sure he might have a fine coming his way soon. But yeah, I mean, you guys talked about it too. Like,
it's a whiff. John, it's a bad whiff. It's a bad whiff.
You just said it too, though, John. Like, LeBron James can't get a call. I mean, Darvin Ham said that. He said it in a way that was. He said that the best player in the NBA can't get a call. What a shame. And I'm like, you know, people are gonna say what they want to say about to that quote, but it is LeBron James. I mean, once upon a time, this is unheard of, right?
Yeah, and but going back to Darvin's earlier point about it didn't come down to that one play, it came down to a series of calls and non-calls. I thought it went both ways. Yeah. I thought the officiating crew had a rough night, and I'm being really nice when I just call it a rough night. There are folks who've emailed me who say basically, you know, they suck, which is another way to describe what they did. I'm going to say they had a rough night because the biggest thing that players and media have issues with the media, or excuse me, with officiating, is consistency. Either suck all the way or be great. Don't kind of go back and forth as if we're playing tennis. And I think there was a feeling that they were, that's kind of what was happening. I mean, the JB call at the very end where they called the foul on, I think it was Beverly. It was on Beverly. Yeah. It wasn't so much that it was a little late. Yo, Joe Sway. I mean, we got Brockton Wi-Fi up and running by the time that official made that call. So it was that late.
2 minutes.
He's got a clean sheet so far, Sherrod.
Exactly. It took that damn long. 53 games were into the damn season. 51 get. But the point is, it shouldn't calls. That call seemed pretty obvious, even from where we're sitting. And yet it took them like a really long time to deliberate and figure out that was a call.
The Lakers were ready to inbound. Like he waited a good 5-7 seconds to call that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then Patrick Beverly picked up the tech, which was obviously a byproduct of the late call. And those are the kind of things that, again, the officials think it's going to be better than that. But the bottom line is this. You know, the Lakers had their chances earlier in the game to do some things, and they didn't. And the Celtics, to their credit, found a way to win a game that they didn't play great in. They just found a way to win.
Yeah.
But I did have LeBron James get 6 free throws. I'm not going to lie. That seems a little bit unusual in a game like this. He had 6 free throw attempts. And just kind of looking at the Celtics, you had Tatum with 12. You had Jaylen with 11. You had Brogdon with 8. So I kind of see where Darvin Ham and then LeBron are coming from.
I mean,
from,
it was but, a 2-1 free throw. The 2-1 free throw disparity, I think.
Nah, Sherrod's just saying that because that's his guy. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're right.
He is my guy. Darvin is my guy. I'm not going to shy away from that. That's my dude. But bottom line, his crew had their chances to steal this game, and they did. And it's in many ways, it's kind of, you know, it's their season in a nutshell. Close.
They let that frustration carry into the overtime. Like, they couldn't get over it. And what made things worse? They were missing layups. You know, it's like, man, like. So then you start thinking almost every call is a foul. And I think it really took him out of the game. Whereas Jaylen making that free throw, I feel like just completely had him locked in.
You knew what was going to happen
in the game, but they also knew what happened a couple of days ago.
Yeah, but you knew what was going to happen if he got to the line in overtime, which it did happen. He split.
Can you? How is this a? This is a ref's. This is a referee's worst assignment, by the way. Celtics, Lakers, LeBron, Westbrook, Grant, Tatum. Oh my God, Beverly.
I normally don't pay attention to those like 2 minute reports, but I can't wait to see the one in this game.
But if, just imagine just being in there and having to listen to that. I would call out sick if I had the ref this game. Like, I don't want to listen. Grant sitting in the corner. Grant acted like his one of low key favorite moments. Grant,
I know what you're talking about. The shoulder.
His arm came off, and he just sat there and didn't go down the court. And then he gets the ball on the next possession, and takes and dribbles and goes in with two hands. Everything is fine. You know,
that was my favorite moment of the game.
I was about to tweet about that.
I was too. Look at this. I was about to do the same. I was about to tweet that. You know,
did you see those tweets of people being like, "Wow, Grant Williams dislocated his shoulder, popped it back in, and took that jump shot." I'm like, "That's not what happened at all."
He was holding his shoulder, and a minute the ball swung to him. All of a sudden,
he's like,
I love it.
That was just great.
Academy Award worthy.
Guys, the referees have televisions and DVR, and they get to see this stuff. That gets played back. They know. Man.
They're talking about that right now, John. They're like, you saw that shit Grant did? Like, you know they're talking about that. Like, come on.
Yeah. Whoever's looking at it, like, did you see that?
Yeah, right. By the way.
Yeah.
The hell with the LeBron thing. You see that call, that fake from Grant, that acting job from Grant? I'm sure they're
talking about that. But Grant was solid in the first half. I mean, when they were just trying to find somebody who could get him a bucket, not named Tatum, Grant, he did his thing. Second half, not great, Grant. Not great at all. But first half, he kept them afloat when they needed another body to get some buckets. Because you had Tatum not making shots. You had Jaylen in foul trouble. And Malcolm hadn't asserted himself at that point in the game. And Grant made a couple shots that they needed. But, again, my takeaway from this when I think about Grant is the shoulder. And I was having like Paul Pierce flashbacks of being in a wheelchair. Very different circumstance. But you know, that's the most
embarrassed I've ever been to support a player or team than when Paul Pierce went off like that. I've never, you know, honestly, I think it hurt his legacy to come back that game, not helped it.
But at the time, though, did you really think he was faking it the whole time?
I kind of didn't think he was dead. I don't know what it was.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I love Paul. I need
him coming back. I was like,
John, he said he heard a pop. I believe.
What's that?
He said he heard a pop in his knee. That's what he said. He got concerned. He got it checked out.
Was it a pop in his knee or popping or just popcorn popping that?
Oh my God. That stuff is terrible.
You know what I totally forgot about until we actually got here and I started watching the game was I forgot this was a Dennis Schroeder comeback game.
Yeah, me too.
I dare you to say something bad about Dennis Schroeder. Go ahead.
I liked Dennis when he was here. He's kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but that's okay. That's okay. I liked him. But they were clearly there were certain. I mean, Tatum and Jaylen know him well, and they know what they can do against him. And they were absolutely seeking that matchup out. And Schroeder, to his credit, knew that he can't guard them. So what you do? You create images that you're getting fouled, or like the one offensive foul that I think it was the fifth when they called on Jaylen, where Jaylen extended the arm, and that was real heads up play for Schroeder because Jaylen didn't really throw him off; he just extended his arm, and so then all of a sudden we go into Academy Award nomination time right there. So I guess Schroeder he had a solid game. I enjoy watching him play. He didn't suck. He didn't make the kind of impact that I thought he was going to make. I thought he was going to be an assassin late in the game. I thought he was going to be the guy that was going to bury the Celtics. And that just didn't happen.
I do have another priceless Joe Mazzulla soundbite. I'm going to play it for you guys in just a second. Yes, Joe playing some of the greatest hits. We'll get to it in a minute. But first, we want to tell you about one of our sponsors real quick, Athletic Greens. Go get some. Those of you out there, that don't know about this. A terrific product. We all use it here at the Garden. Terrific nutritional supplement, especially those people trying to get their kind of health and their lives back on track here to start the new year. Great way to start your day. Takes care of everything you want to take care of that you're probably chasing with a bunch of different different supplements out there right now. Mental clarity, immune system boosting, recovery, gut health, all sorts of different things. Like I said, you're probably Googling, what do I take for improved blank? You don't need to bother doing that. Just get Athletic Greens, 75 vitamins, minerals in a scoop, boom, drop it in a cup of water, take it down early in the day, first thing in the morning, you're done for the day. That's all you need.
You'll start feeling the results in a week.
Yes, real.
You do.
It's good stuff. It fits with whatever diet you want. Like I said, Google it. You'll get a lot of different, you'll see a lot of 5-star reviews, heavily endorsed product. Any top 10 list of supplements out there, you're going to see it at or near the top. So check it out. athleticgreens.com/garden, free 1-year supply, vitamin D5 free travel packs with your first purchase. That's what they're going to give you. What we're going to give you is a phenomenal t-shirt, which we do for anybody who supports our sponsors. Now, Joe Mazzulla, famously, last game.
Joey.
Huh?
Joey, I call him.
Joey? when Jaylen Brown missed 2 free throws, asked, like, what did you tell him? And he said, he loves him. I love you, Jaylen. And Jaylen Brown again finds himself in a position with a critical free throw he had to hit to potentially force overtime. And here's Joe Mazzulla talking about his boy Jaylen after the game.
Was there anything said to him on the bench? Did you see other guys, like, as he's going through the first 3.5 quarters, what was being said to him on the bench?
I don't know. I wasn't out there. I just told him I loved him.
Oh.
So he did it again?
It's just love. Nothing but love.
All we need is more love on the sidelines. That's all we need.
It's like the Beatles song, right? Pretty much.
All you need is love, Josue.
Yeah. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Is he toying with the media?
I think that was Joe's attempt at funny, but someone forgot to flip the funny switch in the back of his robot head.
Here we go again.
No Joe Mazzulla slander tonight.
It's not slander. I think it was an attempt at deadpan humor. We're not used to it yet, okay?
And I think that's his
very dry.
I think that's where his humor lies, in that deadpan.
Straight zone. Deadpan. He's looking you in the eye, and he's kind of sort of ridiculing you, and you don't know it. You don't know whether it's a joke. Are you in on the joke? Are you the butt of the joke? And he just kind of hits you with it. So he's a bit savage with some of his quotes. I don't think he's no dummy. Most of these things are coming at people with a bullet. I think this one was a little bit of, kind of right back at you following the last one, which I know he kind of got some people poked fun at him. Some people.
Because Josue, before you came on, Josue, we began talking about Joe Mazzulla and timeouts and the fact that he absolutely.
Oh, that's right. We
talked about it up here on Press Row. This was one of my favorite Joe Mazzulla games because I actually came away feeling like he did 1, 2, 3, X, Y, and Z. And I don't usually get that feeling after a game, regardless of whether they win or lose. This was one of the few games I felt his imprint on the outcome was undeniable.
Same. I think he's starting to really, understand when his team is just stuck, And that's what's been driving me crazy. Like, that 3-game losing streak, there were so many moments in fourth quarters where you're like, you guys are struggling, help them, throw them a freaking lifeline. You know what I mean? Especially being without Marcus, without Rob, which is the same scenario pretty much in Miami, right? And then the most important play of the game, he didn't call that timeout. So now you have to do that before. And that was around the 1-minute mark, right? Or at least the last 2 minutes or so in the fourth quarter. And that was big. He did it in the middle of that Lakers run. So
there was one moment in the third quarter where he did. I think the Lakers had gone on an 8-0 run. And
after the Celtics went on 6-0, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he came out and he called it and he was like, God damn it. You could tell, like, his vibe was, I don't want to call these, but you're giving me no choice. Like, what are we doing here? And that's kind of it. It's like, you could almost tell, like, he's like, I want you to figure this out, but you're not. So I've got to do this. You made me do this. You made me do the thing I hate doing more than anything in the world, calling timeouts. Congratulations, guys. Right, you know, and then he goes out there and they called it. And it was fun. And it worked, you know.
But it's part of, but it's his job. That's part of your job is to literally figure out when you need to do that and when you need to pull back. And that was my only issue with him in the timeouts. I never felt as though he had a pulse for when to go that route and when to let him play. I thought, again, this Lakers game was the best I've seen him manage that whole timeout, non-timeout dynamic. Because other than that, I mean, I don't have any issues with Joe, but that particular issue, my concern has been and still continues to be, is that could potentially cost him a championship. His inability to stop a run when he has the power to stop a run, that could cost him a title. But again, tonight, if we're talking about tonight, this was great Joe Mazzulla game management. Best I've seen.
No, I agree with amazing. That. He has a better feel of these guys, and that's huge. I really do believe that. It's a good point, Sherrod, especially in this game. And the way it went down, I mean, we always say there's always that quote, there's the game of runs and all that, but it really was a game of runs in this one. And I felt like when the Lakers really got going, they got the biggest lead of the night, or their biggest lead of the night in that second half, I was like, how is he going to get through to these guys? I mean, Malcolm Brogdon was solid, especially in the second half. He started to take control of the offense, and he's a big reason why this thing didn't turn into a 15 or 20-point deficit for the Celtics. However, they need another guy just from afar to notice when this team's in trouble. And Mazzulla did a good job of knowing when to call those timeouts.
I'm still amazed how polarizing he is. And again, I do think this is not at all intended to, disparage anyone. I do think the coaches oftentimes get way, way, way too much blame. There's reasons to have some concern. Like you said, can he make adjustments with some of the better coaches in the league when you get into the playoffs? Can he control things, keep emotions in check, keep his players grounded, call the timeouts when he needs to, and be that kind of rock? Sure, we don't know because he hasn't done that yet either. But the idea that Joe is like costing them games or whatever, I think I've always thought is incredibly overrated. And I do think when things go bad, it's just such a quick hook, to go at Mazzulla with it. He sucks. He's in over his head. I don't know yet. I do think there's a couple issues beyond the timeout thing. I think he's got to figure out what the hell he's doing with the minutes. Get your rotate. I know you're short guys tonight, but you just can't be playing Tatum for three straight quarters under any circumstances. You got to find rest for him somewhere in there. That's part of the job for sure. I do think still, rotations and minutes and going away from guys in the second half, I just don't think you can go playoff rotation in regular season games. I think you just got to kind of live with imperfect lineups. You can't be playing these. You can't be grinding these guys into the ground right now. If you are, you got to have more load management days built in. That's all. That's what I think.
I don't know how the hell you're going to do that, John, because their load management schedule is pretty damn packed. I mean, I'm not sure.
They're hurt now, so it's harder. Right. But before, right, when they weren't, he was still playing these guys heavy, heavy, heavy minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. I mean, he's got to figure out a better way to manage that. But, when we look at some of the factors when they lose that are contributing factors, load management, they've probably lost at least half of their games this year because they – sat a guy that probably was healthy enough to play. And again, that doesn't bother me because they're winning most of the games that they should be winning regardless. And the theory behind that is that once you get to the playoffs and load management is not an issue, you're going to have your full force ready to go, ready to win. And that's the goal. But they're going to have games where they're just not going to get it done because they're going to be missing – whether it's injuries or load management. But I think the one thing Joe has done a really good job with, and some rookie coaches I think screw this up more times than not, is they overthink the process. They feel that because I'm a rookie coach, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and I don't give a damn if that's not your strength. You're going to do this because I'm the damn head coach. And Joe doesn't really seem to strike me that way. And so we talk about the timeouts and some of the other things that he's not great at. But I think him understanding that I can't make this about me is a positive, because a lot of first-year coaches, they feel just the opposite, that it's totally about me, because otherwise, why the hell would I be the head coach? So I give him props. I'm in a real good Joe Mazzulla mood tonight, man. I am feeling Joe and what he did tonight.
Did Joe ditch the gum tonight?
I didn't see it. You know what?
What?
That's a great question.
Did Joe ditch the gum tonight?
I don't remember. Every time I saw him out there, I didn't see it. I don't remember seeing a gum chew at all.
Especially during the press conference.
Maybe that's it.
It's like Tatum with the bike. You just got to kind of let go of some of this, you know, and get, you know, and focus and engage, you know, with what's around you. Don't obsess over shit. So I don't know. I thought so. And then I thought somebody had mentioned it as well, but then I stopped paying attention. This is the stuff that really matters. We'll ask Bobby. We'll get Bobby on it.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, I didn't notice.
And John, we need to ask Bobby about his engagement with Patrick Beverly before the game.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, they had a moment. They had a moment. They had a moment, and Bobby will explain that moment.
And then he tried to find him after.
A good moment?
I guess he wasn't in the locker room. I was like, man.
I think a different kind of moment. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest with you. Well, Bobby, I think, will feel pretty good about it.
He should.
Yeah, he should.
He should. I'm not going to tell the story, but
I'm not going to tell the story. I'm going to have Bobby tell the story because it's his story. He told us.
I know there's a few Lakers fans who've creeped in here that want us to spend the entire show on the call. No, sorry. We did. We talked. It's not interesting. That's a Lakers story. It's interesting to you. It's not interesting to us. It was a missed call. 100 out of 100 people can absolutely acknowledge that. Probably Lakers should have won the game in regulation based off of that missed call.
Right. But this is what Darvin Ham was.
I'm not here to talk about wins and losses. We're here to talk about what's going on with the Celtics. The rest of it doesn't really matter. So
John, the Lakers were also 12 for 42 on 3-point range, which is like 28%. So if you shot like the NBA average, which is in the 30s, you probably win this game.
Yeah, look, if this were reversed and the Celtics lost the game on a missed call like that, we'd be spending a shit ton of time on it. But it's a Celtics show, and I don't care about the missed call. So forget it. Go somewhere else to talk about that. That's not going to happen here. Let's bring in Bobby. What's up?
He was loving that LeBron performance.
Lakers spaces. That's what you're looking for.
Go find Lakers spaces, and they'll be talking about the call the whole time. Bobby, what happened with Pat Beverly? That's what we want to know.
It was going to be historic tonight. What'd you say, John?
What happened with Pat Beverly? Or you want to save it for later?
I wish I got him post-game. What was that camera incident? I thought he took a fan's phone or something. And obviously later I saw
that was Ahmed's camera he took. That's what Ahmed shoots post game with. And he just ripped it right out of his hands.
It's true. Yeah, pregame, he was sipping a tea. I was hanging out in there. Actually trying to talk to your guy Schroeder, John. Of course, I didn't get him after this game. But he said after the game, sometimes that just doesn't work. Of course, tonight, not going to work. But Beverly asked who I was. Introduced myself quickly. He said he liked my outfit. And then we chatted for a little bit about him being back in
style,
L.A.
That's what he said. He said, I like your style, man.
Yeah, Bobby.
Like my style.
He likes Bobby. Patrick Beverly is a fan of Bobby Manning's style.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
What did I tell you, Bobby? See, you wear what you want to wear, you'll stick out in a good way, you know?
How did Luke feel about that?
Man, it didn't matter. I need to ask him about that camera incident. That was, and I saw someone else say this, I think Josiah, who's a great tweeter, the greatest technical ever.
It was epic. Brilliant.
After just the craziest display I've ever seen that didn't get a call to technical by LeBron. I mean, didn't Schroeder get teed up for falling down? LeBron jumped in the air 50 feet 3 times, ran along the sideline, put his hands on his face, fell to the floor for like 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
He was on his knees.
Stayed there for the whole timeout between regulation and overtime, and no technical.
Out of curiosity, what's the rule there? If they call the tech on LeBron after the buzzer, does that get, should that get added?
It goes to overtime.
It goes to overtime. If it happened before the game clock.
It's like what Beverly. It's what happened with Beverly.
So it's just, no, I know, but that was so far after. But yeah, that's
yeah. He technically did it way after the final buzzer. So. Yeah,
and you wouldn't have wanted a technical free throw at the side of the game anyway. But
yes, I would have. It should have been. I love Lakers tears. You know, I love them.
They were furious. I was in there. Davis
justifiably.
The fines are going to pile through the roof. I can't even imagine what's going to happen to Beverly after that. But
you think something happens with the officials? Like, is there going to be some accountability outside of the 2-minute report?
No, there won't be. No. There won't be. There never is. I mean, we've had so many games like that. If there was going to be some type of accountability or some type of punishment, they would have done it by now. My fear and my concern, and certainly I know the players are, this is at the top of their concern list as well, is what happens when you get it wrong like this in the playoffs, when it costs you a game in the playoffs? And, you know, again, when you look at the parity, particularly out West, officiating good or bad could be the difference between one team moving on to the next round or having their season end quickly. That's a problem. That's a big problem.
I agree. Because there has to be some sort of accountability. And it can't be about the 2-minute report, which Darren Ham did mention. He said, I don't even care about that. He said, it doesn't help. And it doesn't. Like, what's the point of it? It's like, okay, paddle tails on yourself.
There was one recently where the Celtics game. They got like five calls. Like nine, they missed like nine calls. Seven of them went the Celtics' way, two in the other direction. In 2 minutes, you know, like, if you're not going to be held accountable for missing 100% of the calls in the last 2 minutes, like, I mean, it's just never going to happen. Yeah.
And so, he also mentioned the challenge. He's like, maybe I used it too early, but either way, like, that was a terrible call.
Can you challenge a no call?
You can't.
Can you challenge that? You can't.
Yeah. There has to be a call and you have to try to reverse it, but there was no call made. So
there's no call.
Good point.
Yeah. So there's nothing you could do.
I don't want to talk about that either, though. It doesn't matter.
Give us the vibe. Like, this is another tough game to kind of figure because, again, you spend a lot of it like, oh, these guys suck. And then, you know, they kind of come back into it. Tatum had a bad game all night except for basically 5 minutes in the third. And then JB was phenomenal, but like, 11 points in overtime. We almost didn't get to that point for him to really kind of take off there because he was dealing with the fouls, for most of the game. So he couldn't really get cooking. Just a weird game. I felt like the Lakers could have put it away and they never did. Celtics kind of hung around until things finally, you know, until they finally, you know, figured it out. But offensively, it was a pretty ugly game for Boston for most of the game, Bobby.
Especially going into halftime, probably their worst stretch of the year offensively. Over 20 possessions there, 4 turnovers, 4-12 shooting. They barely squeaked by with the 3-point shooting in this one. They were right around 21% at that point. Lakers at 25-ish%. They end 28, but the Celtics shoot past them just after halftime. And this is the math problem that the Lakers have been dealing with all year. And it was the same story in the last game. They can't beat the Celtics because the Celtics shoot like 53s, the Lakers can't hit any threes, and it's just impossible to overcome that math difference, even with LeBron going crazy, Davis having a good game, whatever contributions they get, not to mention Westbrook really struggling for long stretches of this one, and him being baited in the jump shots again late. They couldn't close this out. There was no way they were going to be able to because the Celtics just keep shooting threes. And 32% was really all they needed to win this one. They get a couple from Tatum late. He went on that stretch you said, John. That's about all they needed to even it out the rest of the way. And then those big ones late from Brogdon and Horford. What were they down? 4? Horford cut it to 1. And then Brogdon shot them ahead there late. And then you had that final sequence that we all saw there. So I don't think you can glean a ton from this because you just have such a massive shooting advantage over this Lakers team. Everybody does. And the offense was really hard for much of this game. Offensive rebounds, again, save you. The Jalen putback, other offensive rebounds throughout this game. Good overtime. But, you know, we just talked about the officiating sequence. It felt like the Lakers were just completely out of it after that. So you're thrilled that they escape. I don't think it makes you feel great about the offense, though, seeing them – 46% from the field, 32% from three. Drawing 39 free throws, pretty good. But
18 assists, turnovers. 18 assists in through, you know, 53 minutes. They only had 16.
Tatum didn't get an assist until almost halftime.
It was not, it's just not a good, I mean, look, you shoot poorly. Obviously, it's hard to pile up assists, but when they started to get their points, a lot of it was just individual. Jalen doing his thing, Brogdon doing his thing, Tatum cooking for those 5 minutes there. That was it. That's why it's hard to kind of get happy about how they played. You just got guys get hot at the right time when they needed to, just enough to be able to, you know, kind of keep it close and get it to overtime there. And until they kind of, you know, put their foot on the gas, but really not a great offensive night all night.
No knocking Jalen's, what was it, 7-for-12 close though, through that put back.
He's the difference there late. So no question about it.
Incredible performance from him. What do you see from him, Sherrod?
Well, I mean, I saw Jalen do what Jalen has, I think, been doing consistently for most of the season, and that is delivering when the opportunity presents itself. On those nights when Tatum has not been top five Tatum, Jalen has filled a lot of those voices. And to me, what made this one even more impressive was what he was able to do after picking up that fifth foul, which is usually when guys start to lose a bit of their aggressiveness. And he just the opposite. He became even more ramped up and attacking and making plays and getting buckets and doing the kind of things that, you know, remind us all why he's going to be an all-star this year.
Yeah, and I love Joe getting the ball to him late. Joe actually said after the game that he was telling Jalen to slow down in overtime, and he sped up instead and just played super aggressive. We talk about
that's the coaching right there
around a lot. But I love them getting him in the game with the five fouls quickly, calling a timeout to do it with about 7 minutes to go.
Wait, what did you just say? He did what, Bobby? What did you say he called the what?
More timeouts. He and Abby had another exchange about the timeouts. So he said maybe I'm changing my strategy now. And Abby said we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, this one was different. Yeah,
Joe, I like playful Joe in the post game throwing out the love you comment, which was a bit of a troll, and like a semi wink there, and then you know the timeout.
Nice
stuff,
illusion. Nice illusion to Thursday night.
Yeah, I love
yeah,
it.
Seriously,
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That play, coming out of timeout, when he was trying to get Jalen going, I mean, he didn't make the three, but I love that he set him up like that in that opportunity. It keeps him engaged. And then this was before he made the big free throw at the end of regulation, so or when there was like 4 seconds left on the clock. So I like that Mazzulla's making sure that he's giving, obviously, Jalen not only those opportunities, but even when he's not having he's not necessarily having one of those games sometimes, and Mazzulla's not afraid to put him in that spot. So that's good, you know, especially at the end of the game.
Let me ask you guys this question. I know the benefit of, you know, being there and what you see. What was wrong with Tatum? Like, why did he look so disengaged and mopey? And what was giving him problems all night? Like, it wasn't like they were throwing anything super complicated at him. He just wasn't really getting it done. But he was just off, you know, for so much of the night.
They were just blocking a lot of the lanes, I felt like. He just couldn't get to the bucket. And when
he got close, he was kind of shooting those off balance.
Davis was a problem. Yeah,
for sure, Davis is a problem.
He was.
They cut off his driving lane, and then he had to get creative. And I like a give and go with Jalen at the top of the key. Jalen gave it right back. Like he kept trying to seek those type of opportunities to get himself going, and eventually he did in that big third quarter. Yeah.
Bad dribbling too. Ton of loose ball turnovers.
Yeah. How many balls
off guys' legs?
The league and balls off their feet.
Yeah. Seriously. And then I felt like they weren't getting back on defense. Like the Lakers off a missed shot were just getting the layup on the other end. They were quick, and I feel like something took a while to finally start catching up to them. You know,
that's why they're not getting back on those, not getting back on those, and allowing those runouts, not boxing out. Really piss poor fundamental stuff from the Celtics, allowing some easy stuff there from the Lakers. As you said, Bobby, Lakers just aren't going to be able to stack up enough points most nights to beat you because they're just so shooting deficient. You just can't you can't give them freebies. On those, Patrick Beverley hasn't dunked in his life. Like, well, how do you allow that? You know, like,
how about that sequence,
man?
And Grant gave up one to Russ.
Yeah,
made him foul out.
You know why? Because the word is out, guys. And then without Rob in this, without Marcus, they're like, you can get second chance opportunities, guys, against this team, and especially when you have guards like Beverley and even Schroeder, if he wants to, you know, like that. Just get in there, just grab him. you know, when the Celtics aren't looking, which is what they did. But yeah.
Things changed, though, after that technical that Tatum picked up on the run out on Schroeder there. Stealing 3 points there was great. I love their transition game after that. And then you did get that little burst from Tatum. And that was really all you needed from him in this one, combined with the Brown late explosion. But overall, outside of that stretch, John, again, I thought this is about as bad as he looked this year through the 2-9 start.
Yeah, but also disconnected, making the wrong reads. Sometimes it was just – there was one play I remember in particular where I think he got – either turned it over or got an offensive foul where he just drove into two guys. But Jalen had just flashed clearly open to the three-point line. It was such an easy read. He was right next to him to just kick it over there, wide open. And he just kind of – you know, made the wrong one. The help came over and he just drives right into two guys. He just didn't seem to be seeing things well tonight, in addition to not being able to hit shots and get frustrated. But again, took himself out of the game a little bit with just kind of getting frustrated that it wasn't going his way. And that's what bugs me a bit with Tatum. There's one thing to get frustrated when you're not getting calls. It's another to get frustrating when you're not getting bailout calls because you're having a tough time making difficult contested shots that you made tougher than you needed to make them. And that's where he gets kind of mad, is like, yeah, but that was hard. And like, you could have given me the call there, but it wasn't really a foul. What's the point of complaining over everything? Like, sometimes you just took a bad shot and it didn't go your way and you felt a little funky about it. But it's like, I think he's getting himself out. He's taking himself out of some games still, which is, again, stuff we didn't see that much earlier in the year. So I'm surprised when I see it now, because this is one of those games where it's still like he just seemed out of it.
And so I tweeted, we talked last show, John, about the pull-up jumpers and the three-point struggles he and Brown have had this year.
Yeah, you said I saw you talked to Joe about the pull-up jumpers, how his numbers are down.
Yeah, so I did ask about it pregame. I tweeted out after he started 2-7 and 0-2 from three. And I got a DM from someone close to the team, actually. I don't want to call him out, but he said, ball in his hands too much lately. That's where they miss Smart. When he's out, Jays initiate and get less efficient shots. And I think Josue and I were talking about that throughout the game. I think you know, we've been talking about that on the show here. Like, their move action facilitating roles, it's kind of been awkward with Smart out.
But you see it, and you see it in their turnover numbers. Brown 6, you know, the other night Jalen 5, or say, you know, there was a couple. I think each of them had a 7 turnover game back to back, and those are with Smart out. And that's what ends up happening is, you know, and the ball's in their hands. They're asked to make more plays. They try to initiate the offense, and it results in sloppy stuff, you know, because again, it's not their thing. You don't want the ball in their hands that much. You're right. That's everything slows to a crawl when those guys hold onto the ball. It has to be moving, and you're right. And you see it. Yeah, there's different lineups where it works better, you know. And this isn't to drag Jalen, but I thought one efficient lineup was the first set of subs with Tatum and White and Brogdon out there. Ball was moving for a little bit of a stretch there. But not much, not many other times, you know, during the night. It didn't see it a lot. It was really sticking in people's hands and sticking in Tatum's hands. And just too many shots, too much dribbling.
This offense is just scary right now. And like we've talked about, Smart coming back will solve some of it. But Brown and Tatum just got to be better in those roles. And give them some leeway. They haven't been asked to do a lot of this year. Like, they've been in off-ball roles for the most part, and their best plays tonight were off-ball plays. Joe gave Tatum a lot of credit for calling a horns play late that Brown and Tatum connected for a basket on. So that's where they've been great. When they faced up, when they've pulled up, when they've over-dribbled, that's where they've gotten into some trouble tonight. And not just tonight, but recently, over the past month or so here. And I think that's the biggest reason over the last month that this offense has slid during this losing streak, specifically prior to the win tonight. No Smart, more ball time for the Jays. And you got to trust Brogdon and White. How good was Brogdon tonight?
Oh man!
Great. We talked about it earlier, but they needed him with Tatum.
He put them in that situation.
Someone else. Yeah,
he kept them afloat.
this is what you were missing in spots like this last year. Get him the ball, let him fire, and he's going to make it. Just a brilliant scoring night. He talked in the locker room after saying that, you know, it's going to be a little different with him out there with the starters. He's more of a scorer, less of a facilitator than Smart. And so you get him the ball to kind of put him in position to score. And you've talked about this, John, him being that third scorer. Setting him up with opportunities is super important. His pace in this game was excellent, getting ahead of defenses. And he just put them in the easiest positions to score that they got all night. Like, everything he put up was just an easy, good look.
Always. It's either – that's the thing is, I mean, look, on occasion he gets in deep and, you know, he has to kind of shoot something that's a little bit funky, you know, at a weird angle off the backboard. For the most part, he's getting all the way to the cup. He's finishing with his left a lot. He's attacking quick before the defense has a chance to settle. Or he's hitting open threes, or he's taking open threes. So even his bad shooting nights, it's not because he's stacking up bad shots. Just sometimes he has a bad shooting night. But the numbers have been, you know, and again, I almost find, you know, we saw Bobby earlier in the season, some of his weird struggles around the rim. You still like what he's given you there. In terms of just how he approaches, it's aggressive, it's decisive. And sometimes you absolutely need it, particularly at times when the rest of the offense stagnates.
Yeah, he just does such a good job of reading what the team needs. And he just, whether it's being a scoring threat or just creating stops, giving guys that energy, I guess, it's so effective, man. Like, there's so many games, if you go out throughout this entire season, games like this, whether it was overtime or went down to the wire, or so this wouldn't be in that position if it wasn't for Brogdon. I mean, it's easy to get overlooked when you don't, you know, focus in on it, because it's Jaylen hitting the big shot at the end. It's Tatum going on for, like, you know, 11 straight points or whatever in the fourth quarter in some games, right? But Brogdon puts them in that spot, you know, he sets them up nicely. And I feel like, man, this team is just, without him, it would be a very different record. I honestly believe that. And you think about what this team looked like last year. They were a much better defensive team. But still, like, they just – that would have changed so much of that playoff run, in my opinion, right? It would have just changed the complexion of that team, really, if they had someone like that on last year's team. But it's a good job that – you know, good job from Brad Stevens, because that was easily, if you ask me, his best move.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about Brogdon that I think kind of we recognize is that – he's so secure in who he is that he's not out there trying to prove anything to anyone. I know I can score. I know I can run an offense. I know I'm a leader. Hell, I sound like the damn former president. You know I can lead with my voice and my actions.
He's got Barack vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so for him, when he's out there, it's not like when they had Terry Rozier here, who was a good player, but Terry had something to prove. You had, Gordon Hayward, something to prove. Kimber Walker, something to prove. Brogdon is not trying to prove anything other than I want to help you guys win a championship and tell me what you need me to do, and I will do that. Nights, I'm going to need to score. Other nights, I'm going to have to defend at a high level. Other nights, I'm just going to have to be a facilitator and make sure I get Tatum and Brown the ball if they got it cooking. I can do all those things. I just need to know what do you need when you need it. And the Celtics, to their credit, are so load management driven by their dealings with him that they know that they need him to be as close to 100% in the playoffs if they're going to get over the hump, because Malcolm Brogdon is going to win them at least two playoff games this year. He's going to win them at least two.
I believe that.
Yeah. When we start going through, you know, Celtics win by seven, and one of the top two or three factors in at least two playoffs game are going to be the play of Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, right. He's been brave.
We wonder where the extra minutes were. 39 tonight, I think 35 against Golden State last week. When they need him more, they play him more. And, of course, with Smart out, that's the case too.
Again, I keep going back to it. I do think that Joe is still kind of figuring rotations, and sometimes he would be the odd man. I believe he was as much the odd man out just simply because you had Smart and you had White and you were starting them, and then you would bring them back in. And just the way that the lineups were working with both those guys starting, I just think Brogdon just got squeezed. I do not believe it was intentional. And I think they look back and they're like, oh yeah, I only got him in for 21 tonight, 22. I think all fans just assumed load management or he's being limited. I don't think he is. I just think it's a matter of figuring out who you're playing him with, when you're playing him, allowing him to close certain games, and not necessarily just deferring to kind of, you know, what you normally do. And obviously now with, you know, Smart missing games, he's going to play. We're going to drink in some LeBron James tears in just a minute. We were in the Lakers.
And I am.
You stayed the best
gonna,
of lives, did you? Huh?
Yeah. I'm going to bounce and try to catch Tatum, John. So.
Okay. Yeah, you go. If we're still here, we're still here, but we could be wrapping. Right. Thanks, Bobby. Before we get to LeBron, do want to tell you guys at home about another one of our sponsors here, Rocket Money.
Man.
Yeah.
Rocket Money,
terrific app for if you're an addict like I am, and you have way too many subscriptions that you don't even know about and you forgot about. Josue, we're not going to say who, but we are going to say that Josue just got burnt. And if he had Rocket Money, he would have saved himself $100.
Yes, that's true. I told him the group chat. But damn, burnt. John, that sounds really bad now.
He got
when you put it that way.
He got burnt.
Damn, he got burnt, huh? Oh, okay. Damn.
No. This is, for the record, this is a PG subscription.
There's nothing wrong, but it's an annual, and the annuals are where they really get you.
That sounded really bad. I saw like something.
No, we know exactly what it is. There's annuals. It's just an annual.
Yes, those annuals. That's what will kill you, because you're obviously not gonna remember.
You can't see those. You don't know when they're coming. You're like, oh my god, no!
At this rate for a year.
Oh my god.
Rocket Money
for a year.
Yeah, Rocket Money helped me discover that there was a news org that I get a digital subscription to, and I got it at one of those, if you get it for a dollar, we'll keep it that way forever. And I had a regular subscription to the same one. So I was paying for the same stuff twice. And I didn't know that until Rocket Money pointed that out. So
they get you on those double ups, they get you on the increases. Yeah. And they let you know that, like, something that you signed up for that was $6, $8, $9 is now $20, and you know, who knows what. And gives you an opportunity to go out, cancel, renegotiate, do whatever, which is terrific. Check that out again. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, rocketmoney.com/garden. Save hundreds. I legitimately have. Josue legitimately has not. And so now he knows. He should have gone. He should have done
over,
it.
Josue.
Well, at least I have the I have one more year with the of the product.
Yeah, with the other one. But anyway, check it out for real. You'll be stunned how much everyone's like, I could do this on my own. You'll miss it. You'll miss multiple things, mm-hmm. and you will be so freaking mad. So again, sign up for a premium subscription here at Rocket Money, and make sure if you do it, it helps us a ton. If you go there, rocketmoney.com/garden, that's how they know we sent you. We will send you a phenomenal t-shirt if you show us that you, you did it the right way. Now, we did promise.
Jimmy was here. Oh, man.
We did promise we were going to talk to you about LeBron James. Obviously, LeBron, first of all, I do want to say before we make fun of LeBron and his meltdown and all of that stuff, this guy is not – nobody needs to hear this from me, but this guy is not human. You should not be putting up better than your career averages across the board in your 20th freaking year. It's insane what he's doing. It's insane, and we'll take it for granted because we're just so used to it. This is not how it works in year 20. This is not how people are supposed to look. He is unfreaking real, but he's hilarious, and the histrionics and all of that stuff was frigging priceless tonight. And obviously, again, it is surprising he's not getting the superstar calls, or he didn't get them tonight. And here he is talking about his general frustration with the officiating.
All right, LeBron, just your perspective on that last play in regulation.
So my reaction.
Darvin's words were, best player in the world, can't get a call. It's been an ongoing theme the last couple of weeks, through a couple in early January. How do you kind of balance the frustration of the moment, just considering all the games that you play?
It's challenging. Very challenging. I don't get it. I'm attacking the paint just as much as any of the other guys in this league that's shooting double-digit free throws a night. And, I don't get it. I don't understand.
There it is.
Yeah.
Didn't freak out.
I feel bad for the team that the Lakers are going to play next, because you better believe LeBron's going to – he might set a new personal record for free throw attempts. And if, he might get like 20 free throw attempts in the first half.
Yeah, like 19. He'll go like 19 for 22 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the replay of that play he's talking about. Where Tatum absolutely comes down on the arm. Absolutely. It's not even like debatable. Is it a foul? By the letter of the law, yeah. But we all know that the whistles tend to be swallowed in those late game situations. And maybe this is the referee's like low key way of saying the baton has been passed.
It's possible. But for what it's worth, this LeBron is averaging more free throw attempts per game this season than any of the past four. In his last four years, he's 6.2 this year, 6 before that, 5.7, 5.7 in his last 4 years with the Lakers. So,
and your point, John, 6.2, he shot 6 tonight, so he was on average.
He's on average. And so I don't know that you can necessarily say it's worse than normal. It's about this. And you could say, okay, well, he's not getting fouled as much because he's shooting more threes this year. He's not actually shooting more threes. He shot more threes last year. None of this actually holds in terms of, reality. But people get frustrated, and you're LeBron James and you've been around 20 years and you feel like you should get a call. And I don't believe in who you are and getting calls. Just call the friggin' game and call it straight. But that's not how the league works. So, yes, if you're LeBron James – people get calls based off of reputation, and you're thinking, who the hell has a bigger and better reputation than I have in this league right now? Like, sure, maybe I'm not the single best player in basketball anymore, though it's really hard to knock him out of the top five to I know everyone likes to put other people in there. He's still friggin' LeBron James, man. Yeah. But I mean, reputation wise, if you don't have enough rep after what he's done here to at least be in line with the other guys who are getting favorable calls, and obviously how frustrated have Celtics fans been watching Joel Embiid games, oh my God, you see guys that every single time they get tapped, it turns into something, and to have it not happen for you, I get the frustration.
Do either one of you guys think that if it wasn't Jason Tatum, though, that they make that call?
Yeah, if that's Grant.
Yeah, if this is Grant, he's – yeah. Right? Exactly. Well, that was my point about how the baton of sorts is being maybe passed in the eyes of officials, where they see Tatum as someone who is going to get the benefit of the doubt in those situations. And again, it's – the bottom line is the Lakers, if they were handling their business, it would have never come to that. You start looking at the data from this game, particularly three-point shooting, which has been a weakness of theirs all season long. But you can't expect to go on the road and beat the team with the best record and you shoot 28% from three-point range. Sorry. Usually that's not a recipe for success. Yeah, LeBron got a bad non-call down the stretch there, but you didn't handle your business. You didn't do well the things you had control over. And the Celtics, to their credit, they made the plays that matter. I mean, Jalen scores 11 points in overtime. They weren't giving him layups. They weren't just saying, go ahead and shoot. They were trying to stop him, but Jalen would not be stopped. That's something he has control over, his ability to impact the game, just like LeBron does. And that's the other thing, too. LeBron didn't seem all that aggressive in overtime. I didn't think he – to have a bum call
– you know why. He was in his feelings.
He was sulky.
He was very exactly super salty.
Yeah, but you know what? Ain't got time for that. Your team is trying to win a damn game, and you and your feelings.
Yep, you sitting there like a pack of saltines. Yep, that's what happens.
He did say a pack of saltines.
That's how salty he was, man. I'm sorry, man. Look, I get it. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh well, that wasn't a call. No, it was a foul. Of course it was, but I've never seen anyone react like that, and not even old LeBron James or young LeBron James, right? It's been a while, and I was remotely close to what we saw tonight.
I was expecting him to come out and just be an absolute beast in overtime, and that he would take the disappointment of not getting that call and use that as a almost like a increase his focus on just destroying. the Celtics, and it never happened.
Never happened.
Not even close. Not even close to that. So,
the towel over his face. Yeah, he was deep in his feelings, man.
Yeah. I'm not trying to hear this whole the call is what cost him the game. Not your poor shooting, your lack of aggression in overtime.
Right.
Those were bigger, much bigger.
I'm gonna pivot off of LeBron and talk about one more thing, at least one more thing. And again, if Bobby pops back in, we'll let him get last word. But we are gonna wrap it. I have to wake up in like 2.5 hours to watch the Australian Open final and wave my Greek flag.
That's right.
Yeah, Stefanos Tsitsipas taking on Djokovic. So we gotta go.
You know, chef up a little Greek breakfast with that.
No. You know what though? I did make I Greeked out today. I made a full pot of grape leaves, stuffed grape leaves. I Greeked out. I did. I wanted to make it. I hadn't made them in years. And I'm supposed to be having a, like, not dinner party, but people over for Greek-ish stuff. And I have, every time you do that, I don't know if you guys get nervous when you have dinner parties. You don't want to screw up. Or if you have people over and you're cooking, you don't want to screw it up for them. So you got to do a trial first. So I had to do a trial, and I did. And it was pretty freaking good. But yeah, got a Greek out. For all of the Aussie fans we have in the chat, and I know there's plenty. I know my guy George Fakos over there is a Greek living in Australia, big Greek population in Australia. I know they're going to be pulling for Tsitsipas down there as well. I want to talk about Grant. That's a guy who you talk about like people catching heat in our chat and Twitter and this and that. Man, Grant's gone from pay that man $20 million to get that bum out of here really, really fast in the eyes of a lot of people. What's going on?
This is Grant. I mean, Grant is the basketball version of Dow Jones average. Some days his stock is incredibly high, and the minute you blink, it's not so much. That's just who he is. I mean, and this to me, this game was indicative of Grant. First half, I thought he was doing a lot of good things to keep the Celtics afloat. Second half, he was pretty damn bad. And that's the price you pay for having a player like Grant Williams, who, again, he brings value, but that value is not always going to be consistent. This was a Grant Williams kind of game. A lot of good, a lot of bad. Can he help you win? And, you know, even though he picked up 6 fouls, I thought a good number of those fouls were on Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is a tough cover for anyone and everyone. So I didn't feel bad about Grant's play. This was pretty typical Grant Williams kind of game. Some good and a lot of not so good.
Yeah, that's sort of who he's been this season, right, guys? I mean, I feel like, especially if he's not – connecting from deep, which he had a couple in this one, but you didn't get that sense of, you know, you see another game where he really puts it together, and that's when he's hovering, whether it's 16, 17 points or even a little bit less than that. But for the most part, this is what you're going to get at him. And I'm hoping that he finds his like hot streak. I was hoping that you know, career night from last week would trigger that, but and maybe it will. Maybe he'll get into some sort of groove before or maybe after the All-Star break. But for the most part, yeah, I think this is who he is. And I think this is a big reason why the Celtics are like, let's talk after the season.
How much of it is the crying? How much of Grant, in terms of how people respond to him, is about this stuff?
What do you mean?
Just
like his teammates, or you mean like?
I can't stand it watching it. I can't.
I'm sure opposing teams can't stand it. But you mean like within the team, the organization, or you're talking about his teammates?
No, the fans, everybody. I can't stand it.
Yeah,
I find it to be such an unappealing thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't stand the whining. I cannot stand it. Drives me crazy.
And I think everyone knows because of the finals, right? I mean, after game one, he just wasn't the same guy he was throughout the playoffs. And he just continued to be that guy complaining. And everyone knows about that. The referees know now. And I think he made it worse when he faked dislocating his shoulder. That didn't help either.
Yeah, we are going to hear from Jason Tatum reacting to the late game, not foul in a little bit. So we'll wait on that, and then we'll wrap things up, guys. other things worth talking about in this game. And again, you know, it's an imperfect game, but you are missing two super important people. The Rob thing, we talked about him not looking healthy. I wonder if that's part of it is an ankle. He just didn't look like he was moving well or really getting up well last game or last couple of games. So we'll see what's going on there. But you don't really want to, you don't really want to stack injuries if you're Rob, I guess, you know.
Right.
But
no.
We'll see. Hopefully it's more of the day-to-day-ish thing. But it's, again, we need Rob to get back to being kind of freak Rob sooner than later, I think. So I just feel like every day we're getting further from it rather than closer.
Yeah, and I worry about just the consistency of freak Rob, because that Rob is going to show up. It's just a matter, is he going to show up a lot? Is he going to show up every now and then? Can we count on that Rob to show up when he's on the floor for at least – half of the time he's on the floor? Those are some of the questions and concerns I have about Rob at this point, because, you know, again, I wouldn't be as concerned, and I think most people wouldn't be as concerned, if he didn't have this long and lengthy track record of injuries. But because of that, you have to be cautiously optimistic about when he's on the floor and making plays and doing things. And in the back of your mind, you're wondering, how long is this going to last? Can this be something that he can sustain? And only time will tell if he's able to do that. And the longer time passes that he's doing the same thing you and I are doing, which is watching the Celtics play, that raises a level of concern about whether when he does play, he's going to be able to give you what you need and what the Celtics need consistently.
Yep.
I don't know. The general narrative was, when Rob comes back, the league's dead. And I know, like, since then, you know, they've experienced other injuries, but I, you know, doesn't look himself physically. And again, my biggest concern with Rob was that he wouldn't fit with whatever the Celtics are trying to do offensively. And I'm still not sure it fits. It's got to be Joe's job to find things for him to do when he's out there. So if you want to talk about something that Joe can do, in addition to calling timeouts, which, you know, you love tonight, you got to figure something out for Rob, man. There's a weapon there. There's a guy who helps move the ball. There's a guy who is an excellent passer, you know, out of the, top of the key. And even in the post, if you get him the ball, it's a guy you got to do stuff. You got to get him involved in some way a little bit more than he's been involved.
But you don't think that they've been trying, though? I feel like it hasn't been tried recently, a little bit, right?
I think a couple of games ago, there was a stretch of like a couple of games where it looked like they were trying a little, but still not a lot. He disappears.
Those looks around the rim, though, not just a lob, right? When you know that he's an option there because he has great hands. I've been, whether it's Jason Tatum or Smart, I feel like they've been trying to get him more involved. So that's good. I mean, that's going to help. But obviously, this doesn't. I mean, continuing to miss time, and working back in again. Like, it took him weeks to get into that part, right? To that point where he was looking a lot more comfortable on offense. But
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of his, again, development and growth, is just expanding his game beyond just catching lobs. And I think we've seen that growth of late, but I still can't recall if Rob has ever had the ball thrown at him on a block and guys just go flat and let him make a move. Almost everything he does offensively, it's either catching a lob or getting an offensive rebound and now looking to put it back up, whereas before he'd get an offensive rebound and he's looking for Tatum or Brown or Derek or anyone other than himself to make a play. So he's getting better, but it hasn't. I think that the Celtics, there's some things they can do to accelerate his growth. I just don't know if they're comfortable and confident enough to do that.
Yeah. One good thing, Celtics are off now until, I believe, Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yep. So, yeah.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Here. Hold on.
Yeah. So that's good in the sense that, you know, I don't know how close, and again, I don't know whether you guys have any inside info. It really feels like Marcus is on the shelf for a little bit here until he gets right. I don't know if he's close or if he's doing anything, but I mean, what's the general vibe there?
Go ahead, Gerard.
No, I was just going to say, I think that they're being a combination of cautiously optimistic that he'll be back sooner rather than later. But remember, that injury looks like a high ankle sprain. They haven't given it that specific title. But if that's in fact what it is, he's probably going to be on a sideline for another week or so, because those always take longer to heal than your regular traditional ankle sprains. And if you're the Celtics, to be very honest and candid, you want to make sure he, just like Malcolm, just like Rob, just like Al, you want to make sure that he's ready to roll come end of the season. And for the Celtics and for Marcus, the All-Star break can't get here quick enough.
Right.
So guys can get some of that downtime without having any games and adding more, you know, wear and tear to the body. So I would not be surprised if we don't see Marcus back until after the All-Star break. I think he'll be back sooner than that, but it wouldn't shock me if they decide to keep him out a little bit longer. Because again, their whole load management strategy has been built around this concept of making sure guys are as fit and ready to contribute at a high level when you get to the playoffs. And this may very well be just another kind of chapter in that narrative about this team and how they deal with load management, particularly in how they deal with guys who are banged up with injuries too.
Yeah, I think so too, Sherrod. I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but at the same time, maybe he's on some sort of minute restriction right before the All-Star break. Maybe something like that happens, but I mean, what's the rush? Look, the Celtics still have the number one record in the NBA. They got a little leeway.
There's no rush.
Top of the East. So, you know, with guys like Malcolm Brogdon in the mix and, you know, Derek White in the starting lineup, and you got 3 days off before your next game. I mean, I just don't see the rush. Maybe another week or so, week and a half, but it's good. I mean, it's the right thing to do. We're still in January, too early. So I don't see a reason to thrust Marcus into this, you know, and risk him getting that ankle being, you know, worse in a couple of months.
Again, that's the reality right now.
That's what it is. Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's so, you know, we talked about it earlier, like, for the Marcus haters out there, like, you know, these games are like really proof, you know, like they really struggle, you know, and you really do need, you know, he's really important to kind of keep things in order and keep things flowing the way that you want them to go. But what does it say about your team that they can, I wouldn't say crater, but the offense goes off the rails so badly when Smart's not in there?
Yeah, especially in the second half, when you're the opposing team is adjusted and is settled in and go on a huge run or something. Yeah, it's scary. It really is. You don't know which Celtics team's going to show up and get into that fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's strange.
It is. But again, sometimes you got to really fully appreciate the value of somebody like Marcus Smart when he's not around. Like, I don't know. Marcus is such a polarizing guy. Because of what he does well and what he does not do well. You can see how folks just latch onto one side of that or the other. But bottom line is your team is about winning a championship. And there's absolutely no question that Marcus Smart brings you value in terms of moving you in that direction. So I think these last three or four games have really kind of amplified his value as a point guard, which might, for this team, might be greater than his value as a defender. And we're talking about the NBA's defensive player of the year, but what he brings to your offense in terms it might be more valuable to you than what he does at the other.
It's amazing how much they miss him offensively. It really is amazing. Yeah. Especially since Derek White as a substitute holds up defensively, fairly well. So it is amazing that's what they need. We mentioned Jason Tatum. Here's Tatum real quick about the last play of the game.
Did you think you made contact with him?
I know I made contact with him.
2 minutes of overtime. It was a blur. I don't really know what happened. I got to watch the game, watch the film. Because everything was just happening so fast. But we moved on and got the win. That's all I got to say about that.
He fouled the hell out of me.
You know what that means, right? I've been on the other end of these type of situations, and I got one today. So I'm not going to talk about it. No. Let's just Let's just call it what it was, whatever.
Yeah, that's a great answer. It's a great answer. Oh, it was a blur.
The whole I got to look at the film. That's always a
Tatum did it in the walk off with the network. Jalen. They asked Jaylen him about it. He's like, I didn't get a chance to see it. It's like, come on,
it's the best cop out. The best cop out.
It's not that if you admit it, they're not going to go say like, oh, do it over. Both these guys said so. Like, everyone will see it. Like, you know what it was. But it is. It's pretty funny. As we said, we're going to wrap it up because we do have a little break here. So we will not see you guys again until Wednesday. Obviously, if there's any sort of breaking news, I'm sure we will jump in there and do it. We may do a Twitter Spaces on Tuesday with the game on Wednesday. Normally, we do those on Wednesday, and we can chat with you guys about whatever you have on your mind. We did want to say once again, quick shout out to our sponsors, Athletic Greens. Go to athleticgreens.com/garden, free 1-year supply, vitamin D, 5 free travel packs, the number one nutritional supplement on the market right now. You can go get yourself some. You're not going to have to go shopping for a million other pills and vitamins. AG1 has it all. And of course, save yourself hundreds and hundreds of dollars with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/garden. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions. You subscribe to anything that is that we promote on the Garden Report, you will get yourself a phenomenal t-shirt.
Get rid of those weird subscriptions, guys. Come on.
Yep, get rid of those subscriptions. Again, the Celtics sneak it out, snap their 3-game losing streak. They got Brooklyn coming in on Wednesday. We will be back for that. Of course, follow Ashrod Blakely on Twitter, where you can find all of his written work as well and his personal Substack, which you should absolutely subscribe to. And of course, Josue Pavone, CLNS Media, Causeway Street Podcast, Cedric Maxwell Podcast. Oh, I also forgot Sherrod with the A-List Podcast, along with Kwani Lunis and Gary Washburn. You can find all of that stuff on our YouTube channel, as well as a Paul Pierce interview. Josue and Bobby caught up with Paul prior to the game over at the Greatest Bar, talking sports, talking about Jason Tatum. All
wild scene
things
in there. Jeez. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. Go check it out.
Yeah? Yeah. All right. We will check it out. Anyway.
Yeah, there was the problem.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it another time.
All right. Anyway. We'll talk about it another time. Anyway, good night, all. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We'll see you later.